Good morning and happy Sabbath, and welcome to Central Study Hour here in Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're so happy that you've joined us this morning for today's study. Before we begin today's lesson, let us begin by singing a few songs in praise to God. Our first song that we will be singing this morning is hymn number 284, For You I Am Praying. This hymn is a song request that comes to us from James, who writes to us from Michigan here in the USA. Once again, we will be singing hymn number 284, For You I Am Praying. We will be singing the first, second, and fourth verses. If you have a favorite hymn that you would like for us to sing during Central Study Hour, you could let us know by visiting our website at saccentral.org. Click on the link at the top that says Contact Us, then click on the drop-down menu that says CSH Hymn Requests. There, we please ask that you leave your name, where you are writing to us from, the name of the hymn that you would like for us to sing, and that hymn's song number. Our next song this morning is hymn number 264, Oh, For That Flame of Living Fire. This hymn is a request that comes to us from Evelyn Edwards, who writes to us from Canada. Once again, we will be singing hymn number 264, Oh, For That Flame of Living Fire. We will be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Spirit, Lord, we
For singing with us this morning, please join me now as we have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us another opportunity to gather in your house on your special day, the Sabbath, that we can come and give thanks to you for all the things you have done for us and praise you for who you are. I pray that from this singing, our hearts and minds will be prepared to receive the message that will be given to us, and that the person who will be delivering us the message will not be speaking from their own actions, but from what you have given them. Please let us have a good rest of our Sabbath day today, and to always keep you in the forefront of our minds. In Christ's name, I pray, amen. Today's lesson will be brought to us by Elder Brett Stebbins, and the lesson is lesson number 3, The Power of the Exalted Jesus. Have a blessed Sabbath day.
Hello, happy Sabbath to everybody. It's great to see everybody here for Central Study Hour. For those of you who are watching online, those of you who are in our sanctuary today, welcome. It's a pleasure to have each and every one of you with us today. We will be going over lesson number 3 in our quarterly on Ephesians. And the lesson, like Carl said, was titled, The Power of the Exalted Jesus. So if you listen to this and you would like a copy, a CD or DVD, of this message to either have for yourself or for a friend, you can reach out to us at 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org and make sure that you list the offer that you would like. And this offer is C202-328. So offer C202-328, and we will be able to send you a copy, or a CD or DVD of that offer. I just wanted to let everybody know today that I will not be presenting by myself. We have a wonderful group of youth here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church, and a lot of them are going to be helping me with some of the scripture reading. So we're going to see them throughout the program have a good part in reading some of the scripture. They're just tremendous human beings, and we wanted to get them to help us out and participate. So we can open up our lessons, if everybody has their quarterly with us. We can open up to lesson number 3, the third lesson. We'll go over our memory text. So if everybody has that, the memory text, we find that in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And it says this, through the Holy Spirit, believers may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So this week, we're going to be talking a little bit about power. And power is a good thing. And everybody wants power, which can be good, especially if we're talking about what the lesson's talking about, which is the power of Jesus. If we want that power, it's great. But if we want the power that most people want in this world, it's not very good power that we can have. Everybody wants to move faster and have more power. A lot of people want to be famous. You see all these kids these days, they all want to be famous. It seems like they all want to be on YouTube. And they want to be the boss. A lot of people want to be the boss. They want to be the one in control. And that can be a good thing if you have a good influence, but a lot of people of this world, they're trying to do it for different purposes. They want to use the power for themselves. So everybody wants power. We all want some sort of power. And the power that this world has to offer and the power that Jesus has to offer is completely different. Because the power that Jesus has is a power that far exceeds anything else in this world. And that is the power that we want. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to the people, and he is asking the people not to be tempted of the powers of this world, but he's asking them to seek the power that is available to them through Christ. So that's what remember, these are his friends. These are his churches who he was with. He wants to tell them of this power. And they can have this power by these four cosmic shifting events that have happened. And Paul decides to tell these people of Ephesus what these powers are. And this first power that he mentions is the power of the resurrection of Jesus. There is power, actual power, from his resurrection. Number two is the exaltation at the throne, when Christ was put after his death and was risen up onto the throne of God. So there's power in that. There is also in powers that all things have been placed underneath Christ. Now that he is up in heaven, everything is under him. Everything needs to obey him. And also, Christ has been given the authority and has been given as the head over the church. So these are the four powers that Paul is talking to the people of Ephesians about, or Ephesus is about. And each of these events have a different power. So us as Christians, if we see these four different events, give us different power. So these events that we're talking about aren't just an event where we see maybe one leader conquers another leader, or one land leads another land, or somebody buys something. These are world-changing events that happen. We're talking about when Jesus was resurrected. This is a world-changing event. When Jesus was raised up to the throne, this completely changed how everything worked here on earth. So these events definitely have a lot of power. Because the death of Christ gave us an incredible amount of power. Because he died, we can now live. Right? That is just, it's incredible. And this is a power that lasts. There's a lot of people that drive Teslas out there. You only have enough power in your battery. So as you're driving, as you're going, that power is drained. Almost everything in the earth, we don't have things that sustain their own power. The power diminishes over time. But this power of Christ in the resurrection and his death for us, this power that we get, it's been 2,000 years and we still have this power. And we're always going to have this power. This is a power that does not cease to give. It is always there and is always available for us. So if we grasp the importance of these four events, we will see the power of God, and we will see it in our lives. And his power will increase in our lives. But did you notice the words I used there? It was his power. Because even though these events help us and are for us, the power is not ours. It's not our power. It's Christ's power to us and through us that we can have this power through him. Because we really, on our own, do not have very much power, do we? As human beings and one of, what, 8 billion people, we don't really wield a lot of power, but we can with Christ. So there are three major themes that we'll talk about in this lesson. The first theme is prayers of praise and thanksgiving are essential for the life of a Christian. Prayer and thanksgiving is essential for the life of a Christian. We have to have a strong prayer life in order to have the power that we're going to be talking about. We have to have that. Jesus had it. We know Paul had it. He talks about his prayer. We'll be reading a little bit about that. A lot of the Bible history talks about men and women with strong prayer lives, right? So that's the first major theme. The second major theme that we're going to be discussing is for the Christian experiencing the transformative power of Christ and of the Holy Spirit are indispensable, right? We're talking about a power that transforms us. Because if we receive Jesus and we receive his power, it will transform our lives. Because if we do not have that transformation in our lives, you're going to be noticing that you're not going to have the power that you think you have. And the power that you think you have in Christ, you're not going to have it if you don't have that transformation in your life. And the third point that we're going to talk about is that we must, as Christians, know and experience this power of Christ, right? This is something that we need to use and we need to put into practice, right? So having Christ in our lives is going to give us the power that we need to be able to succeed and to be able to keep going. We don't need to worry. We don't need to live in fear when we have the power of Jesus in our lives. So let's go ahead and move on into Sunday. And so Sunday is going to start talking about the first topic that we discussed, the first theme. And the title of Sunday is Praying and Thanksgiving. Okay? So praying and in Thanksgiving. Paul writes to the people of Ephesus and he's starting to talk to them about prayer. Right? And there's two times that Paul writes to the people of Ephesus about his prayer and about prayer. We find that in Ephesians 1. 5:23, and also in Ephesians 3:14-21. And Paul here, what he does is he talks about having an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of thanksgiving in his prayer, okay? So a question really pops into my head when we're talking about having an attitude of thanksgiving. It's how is our prayer life? How do we pray? What kind of tone or attitude do we have in our prayers? Is it kind of a dull prayer? Is it kind of a mournful prayer? Is it maybe even a boring prayer? You just kind of repeat the same stuff over to God? Or is it a prayer full of thanksgiving? Is it chipper? Is it exciting? Is it full of life because you're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior in these prayers? So I'd like to have JD, he's going to read Ephesians 1:15-16. And we're going to see the differences between maybe a mournful or a dull prayer and a prayer full of thanksgiving. So JD, can you help us out?
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Thank you so much, JD. So we can see here, we can see that this is Paul, right? And he's praying for the people. And we can see in his words and hear that he is full of thanksgiving, right? And he wants to have, he has that energy in his prayer. He's excited to be able to pray for his people. So the next verse that we're going to get in also talks about the same thing, and we're going to have Evan Melly is going to help us read that. So Evan Melly is going to come up, and she is going to read Ephesians 3:14-17. So think about the tone of Paul when you read this one.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love.
Thank you so much. So Paul here is really thankful, right? He is. You can just, if you read this, you should just be able to hear the joy in his heart when he is writing to these people that he cares about. And he is getting down on his knees and he is thanking God for what God has done for these people, right? And what he is doing to them. So one thing we need to think about is, okay, what is our tone? Paul's tone is very positive. Paul's tone is full of thanksgiving. You can hear the words and the thanksgiving that he has. And Paul here, even though he's full of thanksgiving, he's full of joy, he is in prison. So some of you, when I'm asking the question, what is the tone of your prayers? You might be thinking, well, it really depends. It depends on what I'm going through. And you know what? For most of us, it probably does, right? When we're going through some tough times, our prayers might not be so joyful. They might not be so happy and uplifting. We might be praying for ourselves instead of praying for other people. Well, Paul here is in prison. And Paul here is uplifting, and he's thankful, and he's joyful for the people that he is praying for, even though that he is locked away in prison. So Paul says it in that prayer. He says that he does not cease to give thanks and making mention of you in my prayers. So he doesn't stop. He's always mentioning other people in his prayers. And he also says in Philippians 1, 3 and 4, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. This is what Paul is about. He loves his people. He is full of joy, and he lives a life of prayer, right? And it's a life that cares about other people and is thanking God for other people. Just think about maybe some of the last prayers that you've had. Were you praying for other people? Most likely you were. But were you thanking God for the works that God has done in these people's lives? I think that's where we forget sometimes. It's always really nice when we pray for needs, right? For needs for other people, and that's great. But we need to praise God for what he's done for other people, the other people that are in our lives. And that's what Paul is all about. So we have Kennedy who's going to read a verse for us, and he's going to read what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18.
All right. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Thank you, Kennedy. So that we've all heard this, and we've all used this word, this verse, right? Pray without ceasing. Right? But what does that mean? Let's go ahead and, if you have your lesson, it's about the middle paragraph. I'm going to go ahead and read that from the lesson because it's got a lot of good things in there. It says, what does it really mean to pray without ceasing? It cannot mean that we are always kneeling before God in prayer. It does mean that, blessed by God's Spirit, we move through life with hearts open to the presence and power of God, seeking clues for thanksgiving to him. It means a readiness to possess, to process the issues of life in the presence of God. Let me read that one more time. It means a readiness to process the issues of life in the presence of God, to seek divine counsel as we experience the twists and turns that life brings. It means living not in estrangement from God, but in engagement with him, ever open to divine leading. I love that last line right there. Living with engagement with him, right? This is what this verse means. Pray without ceasing is living it with an engagement with God at all times. And I also love when it says this one. It says, we move through life with hearts open to the presence and power of God, seeking clues for thanksgiving to him. So how many of us do this? That we go through life walking with our hearts open to God so that he may guide us, right? A lot of us, we have a valve on our heart and we open and close it as we wish, right? If we want it to be open, we open it to God. If we want to close it, we close it. When we're at work, we close it. When we're at the store, we close it. Sometimes we open it when we maybe see somebody in need or talking to a friend. But so we open and close our hearts to God all the time. But what this is saying, and praying without ceasing, is that we need to be able to live with our hearts open to God and to the presence of God. We need to be with him at all times, right? And have him guiding us. In the lesson, one of the points that I really liked as well, it says, a readiness to process the issues of life in the presence of God. And that's what it means to be in that, with that engagement with him and to be with God. We need to be ready that at all times, we are having God as part of our processing of what's going on. And all that processing is not going on just with us in our minds. It's going on with everybody and everything, right? Everything that we're doing. So Paul takes this prayer thing pretty serious. He's praying quite a bit. He gives thanks for people and he intercedes for them. So just a quick question for everybody. We don't have to answer, but just think about it for a second. So how is your individual prayer ministry? How does that go? How is it? How does it compare to Paul? How does it compare to some others? Because Paul was able to do some amazing things. Amazing things. But he had that prayer life. So just think about that. We'll go ahead and move on into Monday. And the title of Monday is Experiencing Insight from the Holy Spirit. I personally would like a little bit of insight from the Holy Spirit in my life, right? To have God give us insight into what's going on and to have God as that person that is helping us out. So the first verse, I'm going to have Jamil come up and read that. This first verse comes from Ephesians 1, 16 and 17. Jamil, whenever you're ready.
Ephesians 1, 16 and 17 reads, "Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him."
Thank you so much, Jamil. So Paul, again, he's praying for these people. He's praying, and his prayer is focused on one central theme. And the lesson says that theme is this. It says, now Paul prays for the fresh blessing of the Spirit to give needed spiritual insight focused on a deepened understanding of Jesus. So that's this insight, is that we have this deep understanding of Jesus, right? That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to have. He wants us to have more Jesus. And we should all be praying for this, for ourselves, that we have the Holy Spirit, that we can have a deeper relationship with Jesus. We need to pray for it for the people who are around us, for the people in our lives, for the people who are studying with, for everybody, for the Holy Spirit to give us an insight into a deeper understanding of Jesus. Yes, yes, please. I would like that, right? I think we all need this. So if you want to go with me to Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, Paul is asking for the special insight for these people. And we don't really know, I mean, at least right now, without not really studying the lesson, we don't really know what exactly he's talking about here. But right now, Vanessa is going to go ahead and read the verse, Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. And we're going to see a little bit of the insight into what he is talking about here from the Holy Spirit. So Vanessa will read Ephesians 1, 17 through 19.
"That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power."
Thank you so much, Vanessa. So there are... I mean, those verses right there are packed with a ton of information. And there are three main topics that we can take from there of insights that the Holy Spirit wants us to have about a deeper understanding of Christ. And that first one is that the people get an insight to the hope of his calling. That's what we saw there. One of the first things that was listed is a hope of his calling. He wants them to look to God, Paul does, on what God has done for them in the past. And then he wants to have the people remember what God is also going to do for them in the future. Because they have seen what God can do in the past. And there are a few verses, and a few verses ago that we read that God wants to gather all the people up to him, right? So we have first what he's done in the past for us. We know that God wants to gather everybody up to him. And he wants to love them. And he wants us to put our trust into him. The hope of his calling. Right? Today, God is calling everybody. Everybody in this world, God is calling. But does everybody know that God is searching for them? That God is calling them? The people don't know. People don't know that. That is our job to give to the people. And right now, what Paul is talking about, he wants the Holy Spirit to be able to have us know more of Jesus. And Jesus, that's what he wants. He wants us. He's calling for us. And he's hoping that we receive this as well. And we have hope in him that he's going to do his part in our lives. So that's the first topic. And having a deeper understanding is the hope of his calling. The second topic is God wants them to have the insight to the riches of the glory of the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's the second topic, all right? So if we go into the lesson, and we have Monday here, but it says this, he wishes to them to know that they not only possess an inheritance from God, but that they are God's inheritance. Paul wants them to understand their value to God. So those are these riches that we're talking about of his inheritance. Right? It says here that we not only possess an inheritance from God, but we are his inheritance. Isn't that amazing? We are God's inheritance. And we want to understand the value that we have to God. We are very, very valuable to God. And people don't know that. A lot of people in this world, they really struggle with their value. Are they valued? Do people care about them? Do people know them? Or are they just a person in this world? People always want to be valued. Everybody wants to be. But so many people turn away from God when they need to turn to God. Because if they understood their value to him and how valuable they truly are, they will follow him. God gave his life to come down here and die for us. We have a lot of value. If there's something that is so valuable to you that you will give your life, it has a lot of value, doesn't it? Right? So that's what God did for us. So right now, Paul is calling these people to understand the value that they have to God. All right, God cherishes each and every one of them. God cherishes, and we are of value to him. So the third topic of this is that the last part, that Paul wants his people to have an insight of the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe. Paul, right here, is imagining that the Holy Spirit is coming down, and he is giving these people a fresh understanding of what it is to be a Christian. And he is trying to show them the power that God has. Right? Because he has a lot of power. But do we know how powerful God is? Do we really know? I mean, yeah, he's the creator of all. It takes a lot of power to do that. And sometimes we assume and we think about God's power, but we need a little bit of insight sometimes into what God's power is. Because if we know this insight, we will never doubt that he can take us out of where we are in our lives. If he has just so much power, it doesn't matter where we are in our lives, he can pull us out of it. He can get us through that. And there's so many people that think they don't have an out. But they do have an out. But yeah, they're not going to be able to do it themselves. But the power of God that he can give to us, he can help us through anything. And if you want to see God's power and you want to see God's greatness, you've got to do one thing. You have to follow him. You have to go to him. You have to put your life into his hands. And when you do that and you put your life into his hands, you can watch and see how powerful he is. Right? Let's go ahead and move on into Tuesday. So Tuesday, the title of Tuesday is Participating in Resurrection Power. Right? So Tuesday is basically a continuation on Monday, which we're still talking about power. And it talks about the power of God. And if you read in Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, it expands on that power that Paul is referring to. And he shows the enormity of God's power. And all this power that he exceeds is done on our behalf. So Paul uses two illustrations to show us his power in our salvation history. So there's two different illustrations. And the first one that he shows us, the illustration, is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and the power that that has. And the second one is the exaltation of Jesus to the throne of God. And both of these events show incredible amount of power. If you're thinking about power. So just think about it real quick, because our minds, we don't really understand the power of God. We don't understand God as much as we should, because we understand a lot of these things on earth. Right? So if we think about it, this power on terms of things of this earth, I think we can have a better understanding. So the first one is that, just think about how much power it takes somebody to raise somebody from the dead today in our worlds, right? We have known people that have died, right? What if they lose consciousness and they drowned and they bring them back to life? I don't know if you saw in the NFL a while ago, we had a player that was dead on the field, and after some time they brought him back to life. His heart was stopped. Brain activity, and they brought him back to life. But think about how much power it takes to be able to bring somebody back. What do? They take those things out, defibrillators, and they shock people, and the doctors work on them, and they give them medicine, and they inject them, and they give. You have to bring somebody back from a state of the dead when they just die takes an extreme amount of power. And I believe even then, I don't think the humans are doing it. It's still God that's bringing these people back. But still, just think about it. It takes so much power to raise one of these people from the dead, right? And we've seen it. It has happened. I know somebody a couple of people that have been officially said that they were dead, that they were at the scene of the crime or at the scene of where they were found. They were pronounced dead, but they were brought back. And it just takes so much power. Well, think about that. When somebody's been dead for 3 days, has anybody been brought back from the dead for 3 days? I only know one, right? And we know where he's sitting today. We'll talk about where he's sitting in a little bit, right? So sometimes man can bring somebody back when they've been dead for minutes, right? Or maybe an hour or two, right? We've seen that, and that takes a lot of power. But after 3 days, after dying the death that Jesus died, just think about that power, how much power that took. So that's the imagery that we kind of think about on how much power it takes to bring somebody back from the dead for the first topic, the resurrection. But what about the second topic that we talked about, right? What was that, right? To exalt Jesus. Where is Jesus' throne? Is he here on earth? It's up in heaven. Where's heaven? It's way up there, right? Think about how much power it takes us to get somebody from here to the moon. So much power. We're talking so much manpower and gas and engines and money and time. And we haven't had somebody go back to the moon in years because it takes so much power. But think about how much power it would take to raise Jesus and take him all the way up into heaven. Right? We see these, their closest galaxies, as light years away. So the understanding and the imagery that we can possibly understand as a human is it would take so many years to go to some of these closest spots to us. And Jesus is probably a lot farther than that. Right? So our minds cannot really even comprehend the amount of power that it took to be able to raise Jesus and take him all the way into heaven. And when that happened, didn't it, when we read the Bible and we hear about the story when Jesus was risen into heaven, didn't it seem like just like such an easy process? It's like he just kind of floated up there. Well, we can't even get men to the moon. We can't even get men to Mars or another planet in our solar system, right? And it just the power of God, just so easy, right? It's just so incredible, the amount of power that he has. So I want to read, and we'll read the question that Tuesday has for us. And it says this: how is God's power expressed through the resurrection of Jesus? And I'd like to have a nice young special lady, says he's going to be able to read that for us. And we find those verses in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22, if you'd be able to read that for us.
But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Thank you so much. So did you catch that? Did you catch the power that was expressed there? Because Christ has become the first fruits for us, and he has paid the price for us, his death gives us life. And that takes a lot of power right there. We can't even understand that. That one person can do this act and so many can be saved. So many are going to die and be resurrected. So many are going to be able to go to heaven. It's just incredible. So now I'd like Jaron. Is Jaron ready for me? So Jaron is going to read Philippians 3, 8 through 11. So Jaron will read Philippians 8 through 11. And let's try and pay attention here to what he's talking about the power through the resurrection of Christ.
Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Be conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Thank you so much, Jaron. So we see again here, a ton of power. There's so much there. And Paul is stating here in Philippians that through the faith that we have in Jesus, we can have the power of this resurrection. We can be a part of it. But in order to have that power, we have to have that faith. There are so many people that are out there that are counting on this power, that they are going to have the power to be able to be resurrected and be able to go to heaven. But if we don't have our faith in line, we cannot have this power. So the two go together. We need to have this faith in order to have this power. Without the faith, there's no power, right? So Isaac is going to be reading a verse for us in 1 Peter 1:3. So Isaac, whenever you're ready, you can read that for us.
Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Thank you so much, Isaac. Appreciate it. So we see again, right? We see that because of that power, we can live. Because he died, we can have life. Because he paid it all, we can have that power, right? If we want to, we can go and read what it says here right after the question, the second paragraph. It says on Tuesday's lesson, so the resurrection of Jesus is a non-negotiable belief of the Christian faith. It is because Christ is risen that faithful believers await the grand future resurrection to eternal life at the time of Christ's return. It is because Christ is risen that we can look to him today for all the blessings of the gospel, including the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So not only because Christ has risen from the dead can we have life, but it is through him that we can also have the Holy Spirit in our life. And this is just an incredible power that can only be given from Christ to us. If we read in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, it says this, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So for the people of Ephesus, this was very important to them. Paul was bringing this topic up to them, and they really held on to this. That one day, through the power of Christ and what he did, one day they will be able to sit right next to him in heaven. That is what was so important to these people. Those were the riches that they were looking for. This inheritance, to be able to be right next to Christ in heaven. So the question for all of us here is that important to you? Is it important to you to be able to go to heaven and sit right next to your Lord and Savior, the one who gave his life for you? For some it is. I can't wait for the day when I see my Lord and Savior to thank him. And we also have so many questions, right? So we don't need to only just think about the things of this earth. This time that we have here is very short. I was talking to a brother today, here this morning before we got started, and there's people passing away all left and right in some of our lives, right? And it's tough. But one day we'll be able to sit next to him. So if it's important to you, let's go for it. We've got to do quite a bit to be able to get there. But he paid the price so that we can. So let's turn to Wednesday. Wednesday, the title of Wednesday is Christ Above All Powers. So Christ Above All Powers. So we have talked about Christ and we've talked about his resurrection, the power that it has. In Wednesday's lesson, Paul is talking about the power of Christ as he sits beside the Father in the heavenly throne. And all these different aspects of Christ gives us different powers, right? So we talked about the resurrection power. We talked about the prayer power. Now we're talking about what power can we get by having Christ up in heaven by our side. And I'd like to invite Evan Melly to come up and read those verses for us. And it will be Ephesians 1, 19 through 21, whenever you're ready.
And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Thank you so much. So we see Paul now how, or we see Jesus, how Paul is seeing Jesus, right? Jesus is lifted up. He is in heaven. He is on God's throne. He is above all the powers on this world, on this earth, and he is above everyone. So this lesson has us take a look at three different verses where Paul mentions evil powers and kind of evil spirits. And then it gives us the question, why do you think Paul is so interested in these powers? So Evan Melly already read one of them, and I'll read that again just to reiterate it. It's in Ephesians 1:21. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. So the principality and the power that Paul is talking about here are the powers of the evil spirits and the evil period. It's the power of the devil. Basically, that's what he's talking about. So let's see. JD is going to help me read a verse. And it is Ephesians 2:2. So JD, whenever you are ready, Ephesians 2:2.
Ephesians 2:2 states, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
So thank you so much, JD. So look at the interesting vocabulary that Paul is using here, right? He is talking to these people, if not all of these people, who at one time had a lot of magic in their lives, right? We hear about the time when they burned all of the books, right? A lot of the people in this town of Ephesus, they burned all the books, and they're talking about these evil powers that were once there, because a lot of them were idol worshipers, and a lot of them used a lot of different pagan ceremonies and magic in those days. So that this is where Ephesians 2:2 is talking about that. Now I'll have Jamil come up, and he's going to read Ephesians 6:12.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Thank you so much, Jamil. So right now he's getting a little bit more serious, and now he's pretty much calling out these powers for who they are, right? He's talking about the rulers of the darkness, right? And so we really understand it. It's very clear who Paul is talking about. So he wants these people to know who they're up against, right? And what these powers are. Because to the naked eye, sometimes we cannot see where these evil powers are. Because if we look back to what we studied in the first chapter of this lesson, we go through one of Paul's experiences that he had in Acts, which was in Ephesus. And he's talking about those priests and the sons of Sceva. These people, these men looked like they were great men, like they were men of God, and they were in charge, and they were trying to cast out spirits and demons and all that kind of stuff. And so they were godly men that were doing all of these things. So we can't always rely on just these godly men and women. We need to figure out who is behind all of those things. And we need to figure out and we need to know that these powers are all over the place. And there are still many people here today that are still practicing magic, whether they, or sorcery or all that kind of stuff, whether they know it or not. Some people are innocently and blindly doing a lot of these things. Wednesday talks a little bit about this, of the power of Ephesians, the power that this magic kind of had and what it was all about. It's pretty interesting. So this comes from Clinton E. Arnold about the power and magic. It says, the overriding characteristic of the power of magic throughout the Hellenistic world was a cognizance of a spirit world exercising influence over virtually every aspect of life. Listen to this. It says this, the goal of the magician was to discern the helpful spirits from the harmful ones, learn the distinct operations and relative strength and authority of the spirits. So in the spirit world, this is it's pretty complicated, Right? There's a lot to it. There's different levels and layers to that. It says, through this knowledge, means could be constructed with spoken or written formulas for the manipulation of the spirits in the interest of the individual person. With the proper formula, a spirit-induced sickness could be cured, or a chariot race could be won. So it just talks about these different spirits that are around. And basically what Paul is insisting here, and what Paul wants the people to understand is, yes, there are all of these powers. There are all of these bad things that are happening to this world and in this world. But you know what? Christ is the power that is above all of that. It doesn't matter what is going on. Christ has the ability to take any of those powers and diminish them. Christ has already won. We are living in a battle that is already won. We just sometimes don't understand it. Right? So that is what Paul wants these people to know, that Christ is the one who is above all, and he has the power. He is the one that has true power, because all these other evil spirits, even though they may have some power above us and over us, they don't have any power over Christ. So we need to kind of think of what we learned in this lesson, and that Christ is the exalted one, and he has all the power, so much power that we can have through his resurrection, through his life, through him sitting on the throne. But how does that affect our life? Do we have our faith in him? And are we receiving that power? So thank you, everybody, for being with us today. If you have enjoyed this lesson, or if you would like this for further education or study or to give to somebody, you can reach out to us at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church at 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us the offer. Give us your information. We'd love to send it to you. Offer C202-328. So thank you so much for being with us today, especially thanks to the youth that helped read the scriptures. You guys did a wonderful job. So have a blessed rest of your Sabbath, everybody.